spiritual warfare for my daughter. Very intense, and it has affected me very deeply, and I'm still in that warfare. But the word of the Lord that's going to go forth today, I want to release to you, because I believe God has released it to me as I'm going through this. And he wants me to go back to the very basic word. So we're not going to get really complex, but it's very important that we have understanding of this. And I believe he's released to me that I need to have understanding of it in order to get through what I'm dealing with, because it's the only thing that's going to sustain us. Okay? So today, a return to the understanding of and an embracing of the Word in its most basic, in its most elementary form, to, one, encourage us, and he does, to encourage us and to keep us from stumbling and falling, to keep us from despair, to protect us from the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, who is known in Scripture as what? The father of lies. To embrace this word in its purest sense without feeling it necessary to add anything to it this morning or to take anything away from it this morning. In other words, not to unnecessarily complicate the same. The word of the Lord. Not to unnecessarily complicate the same. Make things really more complicated than they have to be, or in fact that they truly are. Just take it on its face for what it truly implies, what it truly means, and hold fast. In other words, believe in it at the very basic level and come what may. The faith of a child, if you will. And the word tells us in Mark 10:14, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, in other words, what? Childlike faith. It's simple, it's unwavering, it's accepting, and it's believing. In other words, if we hold fast, and we don't have these things, but we don't have these things, we're not going to enter. Do not let go. We may not agree on every meaning of Scripture here. We may not all agree on all the theological doctrines and denominations hanging out there, as evidenced by these all these different things that currently exist in the body of Christ. But what, as the body of Christ, should we agree on? Is that the Word at its very core, its very essence, and its very simplicity. Because why? Why should we all agree on this? Because the Word tells us in 1 Corinthians, by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, we were all made to drink of one Spirit, that same Spirit of truth. In Isaiah 28:16, and this is the core of the word today, Isaiah 28:16 is the essence of what I speak, and I believe it rings through. It says, behold, I God, right? I God, God himself, and you may not be able to see this, but I God am laying in Zion a stone that is a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation, and beloved, it is firmly placed. You have to understand this. That stone ain't going anywhere. It is firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. Let's embrace that word this morning. That very simple word, but oh, how powerful. It's powerful. That very simple word. Very, very powerful. That stone is revealed to us in Genesis through Revelation. In Zion. What does that mean? In its purest sense, it means permanent. All right, whether you think of it as the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of God, Israel, mountain of the Lord, you pick it. But the concept implying permanency, being permanent, the stone, none other than our Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Jesus, his human name, meaning what? Savior, deliverer, and Christ, his title. In the Greek, Christus, or Christos. And in the Hebrew, Mashiach, meaning anointed one. Savior, deliverer, anointed one. From his words in Luke 4:18 and also Isaiah 61:1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And if we look at the book of Psalm at 118:22, it said, "The stone which the builders rejected has become what? The chief cornerstone." It's the chief one. He was rejected by men, and guess what? Ironically, he still is for many. Many reject him today, and it's happening more and more and more. And believe it, many are turning away from him today. And you can see it with what's going on out there. He's the chief cornerstone upon which everything is built and upon which everything holds together. Chief being the first or the principal, the ruler stone, the master stone, the head, firmly placed. In other words, it's settled, it is established, and it is ordained, not of man, but of God. And for those who embrace the same, who embrace Jesus, we will not be disturbed. So Jesus is going to stay with me because he lives in me. I'm carrying Jesus with me, and I will not be disturbed. Now let me summarize this all in its very simplistic level, and the songs that I specifically picked for this morning, and the last one we'll sing, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It is all about him. It is all about Jesus, and on him alone, I still stand today in spite of what is happening in me in my family life. I'm still standing. I may not always be happy with King Jesus, but believe me, I'm always standing with King Jesus, because he's the only foundation that's going to get me to the other side. And it may not even turn out the way I want it to, but he's going to get me to the other side. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, is the song. All other ground is sinking sand. If I put my faith and trust in myself, my circumstances, therapists, doctors, you name it, and God will use people, but they will not sustain me in this hour. And we're not even talking about that. All of us, whatever you're dealing with, whatever God is going to send you into the world to do, you had better get a revelation of your foundation, Jesus Christ. You will not be disturbed. You will fulfill what God has ordained you to fulfill. You will carry through with any circumstance that comes your way, and you will safely get to where God is destining you to go, because he is your foundation. To believe in him, who he is, and what he has accomplished for us will afford us that refuge and strength, a shelter from harm, or rather protection. And hear me this morning. When I talk about destruction, I'm talking about the second death. Right? Because we all know that there's the second death for those that don't know Jesus, which is eternal separation from the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Whatever happens to me, whatever happens to my family, I don't want to experience the second death. And I know I won't experience the second death because this guy, King Jesus, is right with me, right? Right with me. And he's going to get me securely to live with him for an eternity. Okay? Be assured the word enlightens us that all other ground, hear me this morning, all other ground, any other foundation is unstable, in effect is sinking. It will not stand the test of time. And many have tried to build on other foundations, other faiths, other gods, and they're not standing. And the ones that are existing now, they will fall like the ones in the past because they haven't learned from history. Right? They're still going to fall. Foundations of man, concepts of man, the whims of the day, built with material that fancy the fleshly being, right? They fancy the flesh, but that contain no lasting substance for what? Spiritual man. They don't last. No sustaining support when the floodgates of hell itself opens up in your world. And believe me, the hell gates have opened up in my world. And if I didn't have Christ, I wouldn't be here preaching today. And believe me, at times those floodgates are going to come when the cares and concerns of life come knocking at your door, when the body just isn't operating the way it used to, plagued by sickness, disease, and of course many of us aging, when the finances start to dwindle, when the economy goes south, when the lust of the flesh and the lust of youth no longer satisfy, when you find yourself alone, when that child, that prodigal one, has not yet returned, when drugs, alcohol, mental health issues hit close to home, or when even physical death itself touches your life or the life of someone you love. But my Jesus says to me, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Whatever you're going through, rest assured I'm going through it with you. I am right there with you, and I'm going to make sure that everything works out for your good if you put me in my kingdom first. It didn't say it's going to work out the way I want. He said he's going to work it out for my good if, first and foremost, I'm serving him and putting his kingdom first. And that means when I'm crying in the shower and I'm hysterical about what's going on, he turns me back to him. Wayne, it's all about me. And I'm in control, and I'm going to take care of this. But you have to have the faith of a child, and you have to receive that, and you have to go back to the very basic of the word. Don't get all caught up in all the ins and outs of Scripture, and this means that, and this means that, and so on and so forth. It's all about me, King Jesus. King Jesus. Take thee thy child. Take thee thy wife. Take thee thy life. The word says you've lost nothing because the kingdom remains. God, as we know from the book of Isaiah, in 28:16, he says he has laid in Zion a stone, really the only true stone, a tested, costly cornerstone for the foundation, and beloved, it is firmly placed. If we believe in it, if we build upon it, if we remain affixed to it, we will not be disturbed. I didn't say you won't have trouble. That's the problem with the body of Christ. Oh, I won't be disturbed. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your spirit man is going to keep going and reach the destiny that God's designed. Okay? You will have trouble, I hate to tell you. You will have emotion. And I didn't say that everything will turn out the way you think it should or the way you want it in the natural. What I did say is you won't be disturbed. We have to get out of the flesh and hear by the Spirit this morning. Hear by God today. Lord God, open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to what is being released today. And that is that our spirit man can remain on strong footing in spite of what is going on in the natural and with the natural man. Because you have been allowed and we have chosen to build upon the strong foundation given to us by God, that being his Son, Christ Jesus, and the benefits and the promises that this affords. And believe me, and I'm a standing testament this morning, the world's going to huff and puff. Your fleshly man will at times be frightened and terrified. Even the devil himself and his demonic principalities will come to you to bring fear and doubt. But when you are built on Christ, and when you are continually, and I mean continually, eating and drinking him, and I'm talking spiritually, I'm not talking some goofy eating his flesh literally and eating his blood literally, and there's denominations out there that preach that, the spirit man will not be moved. I have to eat Jesus continually, I have to drink him continually, so I can stand continually and get to where he wants me to go. If I take my eyes off Jesus and I put them on the flesh and I put them on the works of man and I have faith and trust in man, I'm not going to reach where I'm supposed to go. If I look at my daughter in the natural, I would be very gravely concerned, and I am gravely concerned in the natural man, but my spirit man, he keeps drawing me back. You have to focus on me. Because come what may, I am never going to separate from you and I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. And whatever the outcome's going to be, I will turn it around for your good. But you're going to suffer for whatever reason. And then I have to stand firm on the fact that he is allowing me to suffer. I don't know why. I don't know why he doesn't answer. He's making me suffer for some reason. And maybe he didn't bring it on. I don't believe he did. But he is going to use it to accomplish something. And it's been a long, right, Julie? It's been a long journey. And I'm tired. I'm tired, and at times my fleshly man is weak, but my spirit man is on fire for the Lord. In the midst of the most horrific thing that I can possibly imagine could happen to somebody, I'm preaching you today because that's what he's called me to do. It's not about me. It's not about my circumstances. It's about him and what he's causing me to do. And I'm supposed to lift him up. And so I pick songs to what? Lift him up. And get me back to the basic word, on you I stand, because I know everything else. Everything else is sinking sand. I am to drink and eat him. Eat and drink. I will not be moved. On Christ the solid rock I stand. I'm not going to be built upon every new wind of doctrine or the current worldview of the day, or with the programs or statutes or dictations or whatever it be. And trust me, it changes continually. Look around every day. I had to stop watching the news. I will not be moved. I will build my life upon Christ. I am not built on sand. I purpose to choose and remain adhered to the foundation that has proven not to crumble, not to fall, the rock. From the book of 1 Corinthians 10, it reads, "For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren," very, very prophetic, "that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud, and in the sea, and all ate the same," what? "Spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a," what? "A spiritual rock." Even back then, Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Even back then, they were spiritually partaking of Jesus in the wilderness. And the rock was Christ. Drinking Jesus. Eating and drinking Jesus. Awesome. If you have understanding what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, let's go down, I'm going to cut you up there. I'm going to take a little of your flesh. He's talking about eating and drinking him, and I'm going to explain that in a second, because it really is the concept of communion. And we've made it so complicated, it really isn't. From the book of Exodus 17:5, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hands your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock," and what? Water. Substance, right? It's going to come out that the people may drink. You drink Jesus, you're getting all the substance you need. Okay? Even in the midst of a very horrific storm. Eating and drinking spiritual food for the spiritual man, the rock, Jesus the Christ, healthy food, sustaining food, life-giving food, food that produces life everlasting, not to be in the lake of fire, but in the riches of a new heaven, and praise God, a new earth. Now, let's fast forward to the words of in red of Christ himself in John 6, commencing at 35. God gave me a revelation about this a couple of years ago, because I was raised Lutheran. You know, you can't commune with the Lutherans if you don't agree that you're literally ingesting the flesh and blood of Jesus. You're sitting down there, and I'm going, okay, if Jesus lives in me, how much more do I need to eat of him in order to get myself full? Okay? And I'm not being critical, because it isn't going to save you or not save you. The one thing that's going to save you is what? Your faith and belief in Jesus Christ. All this other stuff, in my view, and it's my view solely, isn't going to mean a hill of beans, right? What church you go to, how you view communion, how you view baptism, all this other stuff is nothing in comparison to the one true thing. Confess with your mouth Jesus and believe in your heart, and you what? Shall be saved. Jesus' words, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. Connect the dots. Come will never hunger. And he who believes in me will never thirst. Coming, eating, believing, drinking. Are we connecting the dots here? When I come to Jesus, I'm eating him. Lord Jesus, Carly is in bad shape. I don't know how she's still standing. But I'm coming to you in prayer and supplication. I say, Lord, lift her up. Bring healing. What am I doing? I'm coming to Jesus. I am eating him. I'm in relationship with him. And now that I've prayed that prayer, Lord Jesus, I believe that you're going to do something in this situation. I thought it was going to go A, but it's not. Maybe it's going to be B. But I believe you're going to intercede and do something, because your servant, who confesses you before men, who has humbled himself time and time again, is going to do something. Now I'm drinking him. I'm coming to him, and his word says, come to me and you'll never hunger. Believe in me and you will never thirst. Take, eat, take, drink. Come to me, eat me. Believe in me, drink me. Come to me, eat me. Believe in me, drink me. One way to do it is communion. There's all sorts of other ways. In your worship and praise, in the way you do things in your life, getting up in the morning and thanking him, come to him first thing in the morning, and then believe if you've got prayers and supplications. I know Julie, I don't know if we used to plead the blood of Jesus over our family, because we believe him and his word. We're coming, we're drinking, we're believing, we're eating, all this stuff, because we know who he is. Each time I come, I'm spiritually eating him, and each time I believe, I am spiritually drinking of him. I am satisfied. My spirit man will not be disturbed, come what may. Again, I didn't say I wasn't going to have trouble. You want to have trouble? Come visit me for a couple of days. You'll see the anguish, the sorrow that I'm dealing with. But I'm still standing, because King Jesus is still with me. He's still with me. I don't understand it. I've had some very interesting conversations with King Jesus. I've yelled at him. What the heck are you doing? 29 years and I'm still in trials and tribulations over this issue. Why aren't you interceding? You go back to the word. On me you stand. I'm in control of all things, and by me all things hold together. I created. He can take away. I don't know what he's going to do, but I have to be in the word. The word says in Matthew 7:24, and these are Jesus' words, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed. They slammed against that house. Wow! I can relate to that, right? Everyone who hears these words of mine, founded on that rock, that house didn't fall, right? All that stuff came, it did not fall, because they wisely built on a very firm foundation. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, and there's a lot of people out there in the world today, don't get upset about what's going on in the world today. Pray about it. Act upon it if the Lord tells you to do it. But by gosh, those things are going to come tumbling down. And if you don't believe it, get in your word. All this horrible stuff that man's now doing, And I don't want to get on a political tangent because I'm not going to do this here, but take the issue of abortion or any other issue. Let's abort a baby after they've come out of mommy's womb because the abortion didn't succeed. And now we're going to kill this baby. That's going to come crashing down. It's going to come crashing down. I fear for those people when they stand before God and say, but it wasn't a child. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when Mary came past and Jesus was present. You aren't going to tell me that the word isn't truth. But I'm not here to judge the world. But it better not be going on in the church, because he's coming to judge the church first. But see, we're afraid to speak. I'm not afraid to speak. I've had these conversations at my place of work. They know not to bring them up anymore, because I'm on fire for King Jesus. Oh, this lifestyle is okay. You're misinterpreting the Bible. You're misinterpreting the word. I don't think so. But I'm going to pray for you, because something bad's going to happen to you. Because Daddy God, King Jesus, isn't going to allow you to continue for much longer. Now, it may be 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, but he's going to come a-knocking, and you're going to have an accounting. I didn't agree with you. See ya. I don't know you. I don't know you. But he knows you if you hold fast. You notice Jesus allured that the rain will come, the floods will come, winds will blow, but we will not fall if we stay what? Connected to him, focus our eyes on Jesus, eat and drink him in a spiritual sense, continually come to him and yes, believe in him and the promises that he has for you and I. And I am established on the word, the wonderful promise of that word, and first and foremost is what? The promise of salvation. All of the other stuff is great stuff. Hey, I can raise the dead, cast out demons, all this good stuff, and he'll have things done. But first and foremost, I am saved. I'm going to spend an eternity with King Jesus, right? The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And all this stuff going around in the world, this horrible, horrific, terrible stuff is coming to an end, and it ain't coming into the kingdom that he has established for us when he brings down the heavenly Jerusalem. And we can talk about the prophetic stuff and coming against. And again, I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican, independent, you be who God tells you to be. But the reality is, you better look at what's going on with Israel right now and what this president is doing with establishing Jerusalem or affirming Jerusalem as the capital. And again, it could be Obama. I don't care. I'm not talking about the present. I'm talking about what's happening politically. And you've got people in Congress who are coming against Israel. So biblical, right? I wouldn't be touching that. I have prayed many times, Lord God, I bless your nation, Israel. I bless literal Israel, but we're all Israel. We're all grafted in. You understand that. He's going to call everybody back from the north, south, east, west. We're all the church. But my God, the stuff that's going on in the world today, if people had spiritual eyes, they would be walking around in fear if they knew what they were doing. You don't want to come against Daddy God and his nation Israel. Watch and see. Watch and see. I'd get your affairs in order. I really would. Because something ain't going to happen. Something's going to happen that you ain't going to like. But go ahead. I'm not worried about it. I don't sit on there and say, oh my God, look at all this terrible stuff that's happening. I'm not in control of any of it. King Jesus is. Do you think he's going to let this go on? He ain't going to let it go on. He's going to do some shaking and stirring. It's coming. Maybe today, maybe 5 years from now, maybe 100 years from now. I don't know, but it's a coming. You better get your affairs in order. Truly, truly, Jesus says, he who hears my words and believes on him who sent me hath eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Everyone who believes, lives and believes in me shall never die. It isn't enough to say, hey, I know you, Jesus, and then go walk a lifestyle that has nothing to do with Jesus, that's contrary to his will. Do abortions here. I'm going to, you know, have all these relationships outside of my marriage here. That isn't walking Jesus. And again, not my place to judge. But you need to look. We have to live Jesus in addition to believe in him. The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. What are the other promises? Yes, there's many more promises. Never leaving us or forsaking us. Promise of the Holy Spirit. I got that here. Right? Promise of answered prayers. Promise of doing the works he did in greater. Power of service. Divine sonship. Sons of God. And it goes on and on and on. We have all these blessings in the midst of storms. All these promises too, but eternal life with the Godhead is the one I'm holding fast to. Life with the Father. On the solid rock I stand, and therein lies my eternal, everlasting security. Be it though that for a time I must endure many hardships, many trials and tribulations. Okay, Jesus, I get you. Christ is our example, right? For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps. It's in 1 Peter 3:21. Christ kept entrusting himself to who? Daddy. Father God, I call him Daddy. Christ kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously in spite of the circumstances and in spite of the pain. And believe me, his life was filled with what? Pain and sorrow. So many people rejected him. How would you like walking around, I think I got it bad? Everybody practically hated the guy. His own people wouldn't let him do anything, right? He got scourged on his back. I saw the movie of the Passion of the Christ. It was hard to even watch. What, literally, the flesh coming off, right? Carried his own cross, right? Got to the, I would have been dead. I would have never made it. But he endured it because he knew he had to stay alive to get to the cross. So he had sorrow and pain, and I'm, oh Lord, look at me. Gee, I'm having a terrible time. Really? You ain't seen anything, right? But you're going to suffer. Now, if I'm suffering because I'm sinning, then I got to deal with it, right? But if I'm suffering and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, I got to hold fast. And I've got to what? Do as Christ did. He entrusted himself to his Father. I entrust myself to Christ. I have to. I have to focus on him. I can't explain what's happening to him in the natural. It's horrific. Do not be surprised, the word said, at the fiercely ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. Wow, that's hard to do, but I'm going to do it. We did it this morning, right? Already this morning we woke up and there's a crisis from last night. Right? But I woke up this morning, I'm getting to church because you told me to preach the word and release the songs and lift you up, right? I could have said, no, hey, Pastor Tim, I hope you got something going there because I ain't coming 10 minutes before the service. Not going to do that. Keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and God rest on you. Trust God. Trust in Jesus. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. Now, Hebrews 1 says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers, in the prophets, in many portions and in maze, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world, and he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the power of his word. Carly's alive today because Jesus is keeping her alive. And if he says it's done, then it's done. But he's the one. I have tried in the natural to get this kid healed. It's not working. And he's going, well, why aren't you putting me first and coming to me first? And so I'm doing it. And Julie's had to tell me that you need to let this go. Have I done everything, Lord, I'm supposed to do? Because he may work through you. Yes, we've done everything we know to do. Then we have to turn our eyes on Jesus and stand. And that's hard for fathers, if any of you are fathers. It's hard for mothers, but it's particularly hard for fathers because we want to fix it. I can't fix this, Lord. I've tried. I've spent money. I've spent time. Why can't I fix it? It's not yours to fix. I mean, that's a hard thing to hear. And that's, is there anything, Lord, I should be doing? Is there something in my life that's caused this? Well, get it under the blood. I don't know. Maybe there is, but I confess it, repent it. Now I'm standing on firm footing because the word in I believe it's 1 John says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So Lord, I break off any door that got open. I've been doing this for years. Any generational curses? Yadidi, yadidi, yadidi. 29 years later, still dealing with it. But it's his to deal with. And I have to turn it over to him, and that's been hard. He's the head of the body, the church. God rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to his kingdom, which is a kingdom that's going to last forever. His years aren't going to come to an end, nor will yours and mine. I love talking about Jesus because I believe we are entering a time where our faith is going to be tested more, where suffering for the cause of Christ is going to become more real. We've read about it. We've heard about it. I'm telling you, it's real. And if you haven't experienced in your life, I pray, Lord God, that they don't. But if you had to experience the loss or sickness or mental health of a child, it's horrific. But it's coming. More and more things are coming because Satan is out to destroy us. And if he can't get to you, he's going to get to you through some way else, whether it be your wife or your husband or your children. And we have to stand firm and make sure that we got that rock with us. The world is becoming more hostile to Christians. Did you notice lately? Man, years ago it was like Christianity was a thing. Now, look on the news. They hate us. They really do. They hate us. Christians, dare I say, being afraid to speak about their faith. Unfortunately, I'm not one of those. But fortunately, I'm not one of those, right? But they're living in fear of offending someone or not being politically correct in our current climate. Already we see the worldview taking center stage, with many choosing that worldview over the Lord and Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Satan himself, his demonic principalities charging forth to kill, steal, destroy at a heightened pace. This is what I'm seeing and feeling in the Spirit. And the Word tells us that many will turn away from the Word in the end. And he's here to ask you today, how about you? You're going to have to make a decision. It's coming. You're going to have to decide if you're going to stand on the rock, King Jesus, or if you're going to succumb to the worldview. Because it's happening even before our eyes now. I didn't think I'd see in our political environment what I'm seeing now, but it's happening at a much increased pace. And the Lord tells us you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of your demons. In other words, you better choose and hold fast to it. I'm either eating and drinking Christ, or I'm eating and drinking the world. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, the foundation of the world's going to crumble. All these things that everybody's all puffed up in pride, he's going to come knocking down. We may be sitting here all by myself, and it may happen. And I may be the only one professing Jesus. Because everybody around me is professing something other than Jesus. You better be prepared to stand. In spite of what the devil throws at you, in spite of what's happening with your children, in spite of what's happening at your job, are you prepared to sit before Christ and stand before the world and say, I am not giving up my faith. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He came to seek and to save that was lost. There is no other way. I don't care what you're saying. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father but through me. You ain't getting through into heaven any other way. Your lifestyle is going to separate you out. Well, it's not really what the Bible says. Yeah, it is what the Bible says. Now, I don't get involved in foolish discussions anymore. Why? You're not going to convince them. If they're not convinced by the Word, that's their problem, right? It says the Word is near you, it's in you, it's written on your heart. You don't need to teach it. No one needs to teach you. You're not going to come before the Lord and say, I didn't know. You knew. It's in you. It's written on your heart. Even the very basic, fundamental laws of God, requirements, Jesus is written on everybody's heart. You are not going to stand before the throne room of God and say, I didn't know. So I say to them, I'm going to pray for you because, man, you don't have an understanding. But you really do. You just refuse to accept it. And you're going to stand before God and make an accounting for that. So I'm not going to get in a discussion with you. I'm not going to argue that this is wrong, that is wrong, blah, blah, blah. You know it because it's in you and it's written on your heart. Have a good day. I'm going to pray for you. Right? On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I have the witness of the Word. I have the witness of John the Baptist. Right? I have the witness of the Father. I have the witness of the works of Jesus. You can read all this in John. Right? But most importantly, the Holy Spirit is in me. I don't have to explain myself to anybody. I know that I know that I know. And it has nothing to do with my emotions about my daughter. I know that I know that I know. I can get mad. And I get mad, right? I have a temper once in a while, especially about my daughter. Because we love her so much, right? But I know that I know that I know that Jesus is still in control. Even when I don't understand what the heck he's doing, right? Because his Spirit is in me. It's written on my heart. The Godhead resides in me. I have all this stuff. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. The anointing from Jesus. I'm going to go. It's important that I go so I can send the Spirit. It abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But his anointing teaches you about all things. And is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, we are to abide in it. We are to abide in it. Now, I want to be clear, because I'm going to wrap this up. I didn't come here today to have you feel sorry for me. I came to tell you what I'm going through as an encouragement to you, because God says, you go preach, because everybody in the room is going through something. Right? Maybe you have health problems. Maybe you have a diagnosis that's terminal. Maybe you're having financial problems. We all have things we're going to. But what he wanted me to do this morning is tell you all, go back to the basic word. Don't get all caught up in theology and this, that, and the other thing. Don't panic about a misunderstanding of Scripture or people are telling you X, Y, and Z. Go back to the very basic word. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. You have to have Jesus. You have to have him so completely entrenched upon your mind, your thoughts, that in spite of what's going on around you, you will not forsake him and give him up and turn to something else as a foundation, because he's not going to forsake you. You have to remember that whatever it is you're walking through or going through, he's right there with you because he's living in you, right? That rock is with me wherever I go. When I'm dealing with Carly, he's with me. If I make a mistake, he's going to help me out, right? Because he knows my heart. I'm not perfect. I know, Julie, you think I'm perfect. I'm not perfect. I make all sorts of mistakes. All sorts of mistakes. I have to go before the throne room all the time. I mess up. I have struggles just like any other man or woman. But I've always had him. Isn't that amazing? From a little boy, I knew Jesus. I didn't know him the way I do now, but I knew Jesus. And he's staying right in my pocket, even though sometimes Julie hears me say this. I'm tired of God. I'm tired of that he's not doing anything, blah, blah, blah. And then I get done with my temper tantrum, head back over to my word, and say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. Because believe me, everything else will not sustain you in what we're dealing with in the world today. So we're going to close with one more Jesus song. But before I do this, Lord God, I say bless your people. Bless your people, Lord God. I call forth, I bless you, and I keep you. Lord, make your face shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Lord, lift up your countenance upon them, and hear me this morning very clearly, and give them peace.